You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Screencast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat, Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globetrotting, headshotting, rooting, tooting, nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Nick's going to be so pissed he wasn't here for you to say it the one time.
You know what? He wouldn't. You know how Nick would have just been, "That's a great joke, Greg." He wouldn't even remember that he came up with it. You know what
I mean? Wouldn't have been listening, honestly.
Exactly. He would have been looking off to the side, staring at whatever, watching the paint dry that he just put up over there. We'll address the elephant in the room, ladies and gentlemen. If you are a visual watcher, of course, yes, Nick and Tim are not here. There was a freak accident. They have been combined into one person. Kevin is currently at a lab trying to separate them, and we wish them well. They got scared when they saw some snakes. They jumped into the little fly contraption. They didn't get bit, though. So that's the good side of it. But joining us as always here on The Boys, he is the next AEW world champion. It's Fuego Woo! Del Sol.
Good intro there. I mean, I was worried. The eye doctors, where you guys at? They've been making so much money after these snakes has just been destroying eyes. It's crazy.
That's why Kevin took him into the lab on his own. You know what I mean? Like, how can he keep Kinda Funny afloat? He can separate the DNA of Tim and Nick that have been combined into one person that looks a lot like Tim and Nick. It's very hard to see like how they got combined.
He did study biotechnology, right?
He studied something. I feel like whenever you talk to him, it kind of shifts a little bit on what exactly.
It shifts a lot, yeah.
Well, I think at one point it was even marine biology, so I don't even know what. But, you know, a whale, a person, a cow, it's all the same stuff.
Science with Kev.
Yeah, see if we go. I'm Kevin. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, this is your weekly entertainment show here on youtube.com/kindoffunny podcast services around the globe. Maybe RTX. That's right, roosterteeth.com. What we do here is talk about all the things we love and don't love that we watch on TV or movies and things like that. And as you know, what we are doing right now is an episode by episode recap and review of The Boys. And so you're tuning in for episode 7 of season 3. Here comes a candle to light you to bed. You might say, what does that even mean? It's from a traditional English nursery rhyme called Oranges and Lemons. And if Lucy James was here, I'm sure she could recite the whole thing, but she isn't, so don't worry about it. For now, worry about the housekeeping. Like I said, each and every week, Screencast comes to you. If you want to go the extra mile, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can write in to be part of it, where you can get it ad-free. Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can get a bevy of other benefits, like watching us record the Kinda Funny podcast live, getting right into that, getting it with the post show, getting to hang out as we record it with people like The Boys, Jack Quaid. That's right, Huey himself was on the last episode of the Kinda Funny podcast. You can get it for free on YouTube. .com/kindoffunny. Of course, you can go to Patreon, get it ad-free, and get for the post show that he stuck around to hang out for and find out why he regrets giving me his phone number. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Molecule and Fargo Brady. Today we're brought to you by Athletic Greens, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's get into what we thought of episode 7, the penultimate episode of season 3. Fuego, I want to start with you.
Ooh, a lot of setup this episode. A lot of setup. We're going a lot of different ways, man. I'm so just invested in what happens next. You got Soldier Boy, who is just, he's such a, and when you look at Homelander, he seems deranged. He seems all over the place. To whereas, Soldier Boy has like a direct mission, and it's a sneaky, scary type of vibe. And it's a good contrast to what we see with Homelander. And so to see him just go off and destroy his team one by one and not care, as we saw on last week's episode, about who gets hurt in the process. Yeah. How much of that is PTSD? How much of that is him just directly being...
Fuck you, I'm not shell-shocked.
Exactly. It's very interesting to see. And then we still got this Kimiko situation. Is she going to get the V back? And to see just Starlight, Annie, completely...
owning everybody.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's nuts. I'm very much enjoying this. Is very much a penultimate episode and all the setup that we got, but I am all in. I put all my chips onto The Boys because I cannot wait for next week's episode.
I am watching this season and this episode and last episode, yeah, and this is the same feeling I had last week of I can't get over how much I'm enjoying this, like how great this is, and not even enjoying it as a popcorn thing, how they have made me care about these relationships and these conversations. Like you said, a lot of talking in this episode, right? The theme of the episode isn't about candles. It is family, right? And not even the Fast and Furious way. All the relationships and all the conflicts we're seeing here are based on family in some way, whether it's your blood relatives or the family you've, you know, brought on and chosen to be your family. And I watched this and I think back to when we watched season one and being a fan of the comics and getting dropped in season one's world. And this is different. That's different. Frenchie's not the Frenchie, but like all these things where it was like we got dropped in and so much happened. And then the fact that we're to this point right now where I feel like everybody's breathing and thriving, and whether it is A-Train, whether it is the Deep, and whether it is Huey and Annie and all the main players, I edge of my seat this entire episode. Wanted to know everything, hanging on every word, you know, being so invested in it. And I can't believe I'm here compared to where we were when we were doing this for season one. Not that I didn't enjoy it, but back then it was like, oh yeah, you know, these guys are going to take on the Supes and take them down a peg. I get it. And this one, I'm like, I care about each one of these characters, even the bad guys and Homelander, which we'll get to. And of course, this is a spoiler-filled episode, so if you haven't watched, don't watch. But Andy, what did you think at the top of this?
There's just so much happening in all over the place that all feels equally important, where I think you're right comparing it to season one, where it really felt like A plot and a whole bunch of D and E plots.
Sure.
Where here it's like every time we cut to a new character, you're kind of immediately reminded of all the shit they're going through. And you need to understand not to brush their struggles aside as not as important as the main plot, because at this point I don't really know if I can name like what the I feel like it's A and A2 and A3 and A4. Yeah. Like there's so many important asides here that are obviously all kind of interconnected in some different way, but I think that I loved that conversation between Homelander and Maeve.
Yeah.
And her kind of feel, or I think that line of her saying like, this is the happiest day I've felt in so long, because I saw you scared. Yeah, you scared is like some of the best stuff I've ever seen. And you see how uncomfortable Homelander is. You understand that he is kind of trying to, that conversation that he has with her about having the kid and how he saw a family for them in the future. And I don't know, there's just so much interesting happening there. All the way to the episode kind of starts off with A-Train being talked to Ashley about Blue Hawk and how the heart is now his. And I wasn't expecting that. I thought A-Train was dead. I thought we were not going to see him ever again. And that's a shocking twist to sort of throw in here. Are we going to get like a liquid snake sort of arm situation with Wright?
A-Train starts being a racist now.
Not with Wright, but with Ocelot. Yeah. Very, very bizarre. There's so many different ways that they are taking this. I think by the end of it, though, having Soldier Boy find out that he is Homelander's father, that's a twist that didn't necessarily shock me or blow me away in the way that even Starlight doing the Instagram live thing and kind of pouring it all out to the world. When that moment happens, I'm going like, oh my fucking God, this is crazy. When this sort of thing happens, I feel like I don't, obviously we see Soldier Boy kind of warm up to Homelander in that situation and in that conversation, but I don't really know how it affects everything. Are they teaming up now? I don't know. It's just, what I'm trying to say is it was a twist that's, I think, supposed to drop on you like an atomic bomb. And for me, it didn't really hit me as much as other things have happened in this episode. I don't really know.
Did you like it or not like it, though? You're comparing it to other things that have happened in this season. Did you like it?
I don't think I liked it in the way that, like, Star Wars feeling like everybody needs to be related sort of, you know, kind of made me just kind of roll my eyes. And I'm kind of just tired
really?
Of everybody being a father and a son.
Fuego, did you like it?
I did. I thought it was an interesting twist, and it introduces a new element of how are they going to react to each other now.
Yeah, right. It's changed the battlefield, which I really appreciate. And that was my thing when we cut back from the woods, right? And you know, they have the conversation, they scream and he kills him. I'm like, what did he say? Are we gonna, how long are we have to wait to find out? To cut back here and like, you know, it's Jensen Ackles, who, by the way, I'm now a number one fan of. Like, I'll put, you know, Fuego, I'll admit when I'm wrong. I will put all my cards on the table, everybody, all right?
Wow.
Jensen Ackles, I owe you an apology, sir. As I'm sure everyone knows, you showed up in Smallville. You showed up in Smallville season three.
Everybody right? knows that one, yeah.
You showed up in the Witch season, and it was just a horrible fucking season of television. Not you. I didn't blame you. I thought you did fine as Jason Teague in Smallville. Of course, I didn't like you. Dayton Lana getting Clark Way, but no big deal. I thought it was fine. It was kind of creepy, though, because you were the teacher and you were I digress. It was fine. It was just the fact that it was such an awful, 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 awful season of television that like I had a bad taste in my mouth and I associated it with you. So when Supernatural came around and ran for 23 years, I never watched an episode. I just couldn't do it. I was like, that's Jason Teague and he was bad. Smallville was bad. And then I watched this and I'm like, do I have to go watch all of Supernatural now?
I love this.
When Jensen is on the screen, I am locked in. What a delivery. What an actor. I've been wrong about this man. Smallville did him dirty. You know what I mean?
I just love the idea of Supernatural super fans being like, oh, man, Greg, it's season four of Supernatural right now. And this show is like popping off in all these amazing ways. And you're just like, look, man, season three, Smallville. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Again, I'll admit when I'm wrong, Fuego. People know my best friend, Poe. And if there's one thing the Kind of Funny audience knows about Poe, it's that he would never go inside a Quiznos after that stupid hamster commercial, right? That was his line in the sand. They crossed it.
Wow.
To this day, he won't. Still won't go inside a Quiznos. He waited out. He's been dating people and they go inside the Quiznos. He stands outside the Quiznos. This is that kind of situation where I literally was. I won't watch Supernatural because of how bad Smallville season three, the Witch season, was. And now I'm wrong, and now I need to go atone for that. Barrett, I know you like Supernatural to some degree, right?
Yeah, big fan of a lot of it. Still have not ever caught up on the show because there's 15 seasons.
Still going.
I think it just ended like a year ago or something. Yeah. It's insane.
They're in season 94 right now.
Yeah, but like the showrunner of that show is the showrunner here for The Boys, Eric Kripke. You're getting a lot of the, not the same exact vibes, because again, this is the CW, but this was like one of the good ones from the CW, right?
How interesting, Baird, that Greg has been wrong and has atoned for his wrongness on two characters, one of them Captain America, and now a character who is the Captain America version of this show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I do think that's very interesting. But yes, I would say, Greg, you would enjoy the first five seasons of Supernatural, which was when the show was originally, I think, supposed to end. The way season five ends, you're like, oh, this is it. This is the story. And then CW was like, no, it's way too successful. You need to write 10 more seasons. And then it went 10 more seasons and to varying degrees of quality.
More episodes in One Piece.
Yeah, apparently. The one thing, going back off of Andy.
By the way, I apologize too. Season four is the Witch season.
Okay, so that would have been the same year that Supernatural, I think, had started.
And you call yourself a fan.
He did this, and then he went to Supernatural. I don't think they crossed over like that or whatever. One of the things I do want to call out this episode, because we missed it last episode, because I don't think any of us were Supernatural super fans or super natties, as I'm calling them from here on out.
Yeah.
But one of the things I appreciated that I saw on the internet after the fact was the Robert Singer. Does anybody else catch this on your social feeds or your TikToks? Oh, yeah. Robert Singer running for president. There was a poster when Jason Teague. Sorry, yeah. I got Jason Teague on the
front. I know, of course. You do. I know.
When Soldier Boy walked into the updated timeline or whatever, and there was a poster there for Robert Singer running for president, people thought it was an Easter egg throwaway because I guess Robert Singer and that actor are on Supernatural and they were a father figure to the Boys or whatever. And then, sure as shit, this episode, right, we go to a rally that Homelander's speaking at for the Singer campaign. Robert Singer is there. It's the same actor. And it's all back to what you're talking about, right, Barrett, of like Eric Kripke running the show or whatever, having this guy on there.
Yeah, that character who plays Robert Singer in this show, his name is Bobby in Supernatural, and he's literally named after the real-life Robert Singer, who is one of the executive producers on Supernatural. Yeah, it's a whole thing. Really quick, and I loved that moment, too, where he takes a moment to, like, look at that and, like, is kind of confused. It's really good. Andy, the thing that worked for me with this this twist, and again, it wasn't something where I was like super surprised by it, like the, you know, recording Homelander and A-Train being back, and it's like seeing the full backstory of Black Noir. So it's honestly a twist that like we should have seen coming. And I think that's just because I was talking to Greg about this before we were recording, of like the, I just love their relationship and like the metaphor of their relationship, where the Soldier Boy is kind of a representation of this 1960s to 1980s culture that boils down to like very like toxic masculinity, and how that literally bred over decades modern far right wing reactionaries in modern times. And I thought it was going to be enough that like they had it kind of subtly in the background that he used to be the number one, now Homelander's this new number one, but the fact that he literally bred Homelander, I like that is a metaphor, like that's why that worked for me. Again, it's not really like super surprising. I don't even think it's got to be like a, oh, everybody's got to be related. I think they did want that as like a very, not even subtext, but text metaphor. Literally in the same episode, Homelander was doing a Trump rally. So, yeah.
Well, it also, like, for the reason it hooked for me, right? I got totally sidetracked by Smallville, sorry. The reason it worked for me as a reveal, right, was we get the, what do you mean? And he yells at him after he kills the guy. Then the next scene is them at the safe house and Butcher crying. And like Butcher, and I was like, what the fuck just happened? And then Huey shows, and then we get the call from Starlight about the V. Huey shows up, he doesn't tell him about the V. And I was like, but I rewound. I was like, Soldier Boy and Butcher are in the same room, right? And yeah, Soldier Boy's sitting there processing information that he probably, you know, just told Butcher. Butcher's crying from it. I'm like, what would make him cry? And of course, the tears being now that their plan. They were right there. They were one step away, right? They've already, you know, they had their one chance. They showed they could do it. And then right now they've eliminated the people they need to eliminate for Soldier Boy to be like, let's just go kill Homelander. And it's like, shit, now he can't do it because he's related. Or can he? We'll still find out. But I like that twist. I like that it's not just going to be the finale. It is a redo of the last battle. Now we have all this different skin in the game about it.
And now you have all these, I'm sure, we don't know how this temporary V has affected Butcher's mind and his motivations, right? He's been hyped up on this, and he's seen innocent people die because of his actions, because of what he's allowed Soldier Boy to do. And so now the whole reason for the end to justify the means is if Homelander dies. And now with this new information, will it happen? Was all this for nothing? Is it broken Butcher to the point of no return? I can't wait to see how that transpires next week.
Yeah, and then of course you have this thing of there's that, how many doses have they taken? And then of course, like, what a great callback to the abusive father, right? Like, we saw him interact with his dad forever ago. You do the recap or whatever in before this episode, they toss that in there. And it was that thing of, in that episode, you're like, okay, cool, this explains why kind of Butcher's an asshole, right? But then to get into this really deep flashback and go through all this stuff with Lenny, and then even at the end have that conversation between Butcher and Lenny where, you know, Lenny's like, it's the same for everybody who you love. They die, right? Huey's going to die. Like, he's blah, blah, blah. And then for him to come out and have this conversation, have to have that moment. I was like, as soon as he gets the call from Annie, I'm like, he's not going to tell him. And then he gets to the thing. And again, this is when I think, you know, TV's really great, or fiction's really great, where he's not going to tell Huey this. And Carl Urban's performance was so good up until not doing it that I thought he might. Where I was like, has he really learned? Is he really going to put this in Huey's hand? Like, is that what we're going to do? And then he does it. And I was like, ah, okay.
Yeah, him making that switch, and you see the smirk come back, and you see him trying to fake through this misery that he's going through.
Yeah.
It makes me sort of feel like that whole dream sequence was all for naught, though. And that's the only reason why I don't love that decision right there. I would have even loved if maybe they cut away and didn't let us know exactly what happened there. But I feel like him going back on it kind of just, what lessons were learned? It kind of just makes that whole dream sequence feel like just nothing was learned. He was there, and at one point you think, oh shit, this is his therapy session. This is him facing his demons from the past and realizing that, like, having his brother say, everybody you get close to dies. and you think that that's going to change a man, and we see a glimpse of it, and then it's all just sort of pulled away and him going, we need to get some more fucking V. We're going to take it to these guys, you know?
But I feel like that is what this season has been, right? It's the same conversation he had with MM in the Flatiron Building, right? Of just like, fuck the line. There is no line anymore. We have to do this. We have to get this done. Interesting too. I interpret this open interpretation, obviously, and we'll get an answer next episode. Again, I interpreted Butcher and Soldier Boy in the room, both stunned that Soldier Boy had said something to Butcher. The chat is arguing that they don't think he knows and that he's crying over Lenny, which to me obviously could make sense, but is also weird, right? Of they rode in the car in complete silence, got to the house, Huey went out for Long John Silver's, and then Butcher, like this super strong dude, is sitting there crying in a corner. Like, I again, in a room with Soldier Boy. Now Soldier Boy also equally stunned by the news he's been given. I don't know. It could work, but it also I would feel like Soldier Boy.
Were they
like,
the exact same room?
What the fuck's wrong with you? The way it's shot, yes. So. Am I? Can I be sure?
I think the way that it was edited, it made me feel like he was in a different part of the house.
And with Greg bringing up,
okay, that would make sense then.
Yeah, with Greg bringing up that like he was crying because of that kind of surprised me, and that's not how I took it at all. I took it as it's tears about the dream sequence. It's tears about knowing that he has to tell Huey the news. Like, to me, that's what the tears being fought back
were. But that's not how it works. The news comes while he's crying. I'm watching the scene right now. And yeah, I guess there is no confirmation that him and Jensen are in the same room. So that would make more sense.
Well, I think the tears is more of like Andy, you're talking about like the dream sequence being all for naught. I think the tears are him literally struggling with it.
Yeah.
Because he knows what, like, how he wants to continue down this path, how he's already been so far gone and so lost. We literally see that in the dream sequence of like how he naturally does these things where he beats the shit out of his, I know that's a different name, but principal for lack of a better word. And all of these things. And it's just like it's his natural instincts to almost be exactly how his dad treated him and how he does that to other people, even with the therapy session, you know. And these aren't things that he didn't know really before. It was just that, you know, he had to like really face them up front. And that was like the one time we got to actually see that. And so I think the tears were more of his push and pull between he knows what he's going to do is going
giving into what he knows is wrong.
Exactly. And he knows what that's going to do realistically to Huey, which is, I think, someone he cares about more than even himself. But then also being like, I still have to do it.
He's still on the whatever it takes sort of mentality.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to switch gears for a second, if you don't mind, and let's talk about...
Do it! Hit the shifter in the clutch! I don't drive manual.
But we will after a word from our sponsors.
This podcast is brought to you by something Tim literally uses every day. AG1. Tim's birthday is June 30th, and he decided to give himself the gift of taking care of his body with AG1. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all of the things! Tim mixes AG1 with his water, loves the taste, and says he's feeling better than ever. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews, and Athletic Greens is a climate-neutral certified company. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it! No need for a million different pills or supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutrition insurance. Fuego, what gear do you want to switch to?
Mother's milk, man. And I know we talk about how this show takes real life issues and flips on its head, even with this being extreme fiction. But this week, we got it in two different ways. You know, you get it with the political side, of course. But then to see a man have to deal with co-parenting and raising a child with a divorced wife, you know, and seeing how the struggles of that when a man is divorced, you only get your daughter on certain times and you have such a minute bit of time to you got to figure out how you want to raise your kid together. And
sure.
Sometimes
sure.
those clash. So to see that and then to flip that with throwing the political division and having them butt heads and seeing how people's biased kind of maybe even stops them from stopping and stepping back and trying to look at the whole picture and trying to get all the information. For it to all come together like that and for him to then freak out and punch the stepdad it was just a cool way, a real life issue, some real issues that you could see through the show. And I feel like it does such a good job, and I say it every week, but I love how this show can flip real life issues and still make you feel just as relatable to this while there's madness going on with the superheroes.
And I do, that's such a great point, because you get to a point in that conversation with the father and with MM, and it's not, I love that it's not just about the fact that Homelander represents a lot of what's wrong with the country. And not only that, but MM knows really what is happening. He just can't really say a whole lot of stuff. But it's like wearing the red hat. It's like wearing the make him the MAGA hat. Like, yeah. Going to a Homelander rally kind of represents that. And but I love that MM is able to say it's dangerous. The Soldier Boy's out there. Like, you have somebody who's being targeted right now, and you're taking my daughter there. Like, that's dangerous. And I just love that it's sort of back and forth. And I feel like, again, this show is being written in real time at some points with the whole, like, look, that orphanage that Annie.
Yeah,
that's right. Starlight.
This orphanage that Starlight started up, it's child trafficking. Like, it's unbelievable how it's like they were served up all of these things on a silver platter to sort of lend story sort of comparisons to the real world. It's
for sure.
It's really bizarre to watch when they're saying stuff like that really feels like it happened 2 months ago, 3 months ago. Like, it's so odd to watch. And it almost feels like in the way that South Park is written, really, South Park is made in like a week to be super current. It almost feels that way in some parts where it's like, God damn, you're talking about, like, it's safe to be outside, everybody. Go live your lives. It's safe to be out there. And then getting these sort of child trafficking comparisons. Just very, very bizarre to sort of see in a show that you know was recorded years ago, you know, or not years ago, but, you know,
well, I mean, they're referencing the Pizzagate stuff, right, which was from a while ago, where the alt-right or whatever organized against a pizza place out on the East Coast thinking it was child trafficking. Great work, guys.
They have their finger on the pulse, for sure. Like, you know, with the Imagine video last week, like, that was legit something that happened. So to flip that and put it in the show is ridiculously good.
And again, to just see, you know, it's so fascinating that, you know, there's a whole bunch of but there are articles, right, of like, The Boys is alienating its right, the right side of its fan base or whatever, by Homelander being the bad guy and Homelander doing all this shit that Trump does and that sect of Republicans do, right? Again, the whole, like, turning the crowd on the media there, like, you don't see the media reporting that, right? You only see him saying this, bro.
And it's perfect in that situation. I loved the comparison that we get when Victoria eventually walks up to Homelander after he drinks milk directly from a cow's udder. I love the part where she's like, we're trying to get this fucking man elected for president, and you can't stop talking about this. Like, and it just reminded me of Trump rallies where it's like Trump is either there to support somebody that he's trying to get elected, but the whole time he's talking about emails and fake news. And it's like, No. Why are you bringing up all this other shit? Like, stop talking about you. It's not about you right now. I'd love that comparison. And right now, Fuego, I'm driving down and I'm also going to shift another gear because I loved these goddamn animated sequences with
Black Noir.
Shocking and just very bizarre. I wasn't expecting it to sort of see mixed media in that way. And I think this was his version of, like, getting that the musical moment with Kimiko. I loved kind of seeing it all happen right there. And I just think it was framed so perfectly. I loved whenever we would cut back and see him sitting just alone with nothing happening, looking at nothing. Dilapidated
pizza place, right? Just sitting there in silence. But for him, it's all these lively animated friends.
So damn cool. And I think it was such a great way to tell that and sort of have the audience be told the story without feeling like we're doing a normal flashback without having to feel like we are being told the events of what happened on the news or through. So, like, this is like the least laziest way to do it. And I appreciate the hell out of it.
And I appreciate, too, that, like, this is probably on me, you know, taking notes or talking or whatever, hanging out. I didn't leave the flashback episode where Black Noir gets injured and where everything goes sideways, right, in Nicaragua, I think it was, right? I didn't leave that questioning what happened.
Same.
To get to here and have it be like, oh, when Black Noir was talking over there to Giancarlo Esposito, right, this is what they were setting up. And then when it all went south, it wasn't them being attacked by an outside force. It was Soldier Boy actually flipping out. I was like, oh, shit, fuck, that's awesome. I loved that reveal. And, of course, I loved the way they reveal it with this stage play from a bunch of cartoon things he's seeing in his head. Like, that was great. Let alone the stuff, you know, remember when you paralyzed that kid and hid in the ball pit? Remember when you did this? Like, these things that have been with him this whole time, trying to keep him, or not keep him anything, I guess. It's his only friends. It's a fascinating way to give that and actually give it out. And I, you know, again, for as horrible as everybody is, you see this and it's like, I like Black Noir at the end. I like all the birds and everybody telling him, like, you got to pull your shit together. Like, you got to go, you know, bravery isn't the absence of fear, right? It's being afraid, but still doing the thing. It's like, man, like, this is being told to you like you're a kid, and that's how he's interacting with it, but it's so well done. Like, the entire episode's so well done.
Yeah.
When he's imagining that after he sees his brain on the ground and he touches his head, I thought it was done very well. And then just speak of Giancarlo Esposito's character, Spencer, we've got it in this form, but I want, like, the vault's whole plan was to create Homelander to replace Soldier Boy, and to see what Homelander's become now that we know the reveal of everything. I want to see Spencer say, like, how does he feel about all of this now that it's real? Having a moment with Homelander, just being like, we created you to be something better, and then you turn into, you know, something even worse. I can't wait to see how Giancarlo Esposito acts that out.
It's almost like every sort of issue that happens in Jurassic Park. They create the next thing and they're like, no, we got it. This time we have it all, you know, under control. No worries here. But yeah, to sort of see yet another experiment gone way wrong, just dealing with people's egos. I think when creating these beings, they're not necessarily taking a lot of humanity into play. For sure. when they're doing all this, and just, well, yeah, seeing how all these relationships go just completely sideways.
And that's been the thing, right, with Homelander from the start when we got introduced to him. And, you know, you learn his backstory, right, and being raised by Vought and not having family and just wanting to throw the ball around, right, and having Ryan taken away from him, even though he gets the address in this episode. You see it in his face there at the end, right, when Soldier Boy is his father. Like, again, all he's wanted is family, right? All he's wanted is acceptance and unconditional love. And, like, granted, that's not what this will become, but for him, it's the next best thing. It's the closest thing you can get to. And again, that's, as you cut back through this, that's what this entire episode is about, right? Of, you know, obviously Mother's Milk and everything we went through with his family, right? Billy the Butcher there, right, and his family, and how he sees Huey is that, and how Huey sees him is that, right? Huey says as much, right, that's how they are. And then, of course, Frenchie and Kimiko, right? Yeah, right, like, again,
oh,
like,
God.
Both of them, their performances are so good in this show. And again, I think it's, again, night and day from where they started. Not that they were bad in the beginning, but in the beginning, you don't know what you're getting into. You don't really get the characters. And so for, like, when Frenchie's smoking and doing drugs again, and MM's like, I thought you quit. And he goes, the Lord hates quitters. I'm like, yes. And he starts dozing off while he's doing the thing. But then, and then, like, MM's like, dude, you're fucking falling apart. And then MM's like doing the OCD thing. He's like, you are, like, you know.
That makes two of us, yeah.
Yeah, shit, dude. What a great fucking scene.
And then Kimiko, I just got to shout out the actress again because she's incredible. The scene with Annie, and you get part of the message that Annie reads. And then for it to come back later, and you could just see the emotion on her face as she's signing to Frenchie about how we're more than that. We're family. Yeah. Ah, man. So well done. She's incredible.
What was the letter given to Homelander?
It's Ryan's address. I assume it's an address. We see it as an address when he puts it down next to the phone, when he's on the phone with somebody, and then he gets the call from Soldier Boy.
Okay, I assume that's
Ryan's address, because that's what he's been looking for this whole time. And we'll see what he does there and what deals with him.
Yeah, I had definitely missed that, because at that point you're starting to wonder what Victoria's whole, you know, what's her plan? What? Sure. I think that's one of the more interesting things, because she knows Homelander is a threat. Is this her but planning some sort of
I think it's again the battlefield shifted, right? And so she's got it, you know, that she knows that, and this is me talking on my ass, but trying to guess, you know, the character motivations. She's seen Starlight play her card, and she's seen Soldier Boy fail, right? Soldier Boy didn't kill Homelander, so now you might as well be playing both sides, and hopefully whoever comes out on top has good feelings for you, and you're able to get them in your pocket. Just like a politician.
What's to stop her from just popping the head? What's to stop her?
It's a great question. Power? I don't know.
Well, we also said, you know, Homelander said earlier in the season, he's like, try it. I want to see if you can do it. I want to know. And she hasn't. And clearly there's at least some sort of motivations from her to work together with Homelander until it's time. So we'll see. We'll see. Maybe she can't. Maybe he's too powerful. And then just to go back to how things are spun and well acted, like with the A-Train scene of April coming in and just being like, yes, and Soldier Boy attacked you both and you survived, and immediately giving him the story and jumping up. You could see her world is going to shit, but for her to somehow spin it and stay the leader of Vault, I thought that was very well acted as well, man.
Yeah, and I thought again for A-Train, who's, I don't know, I have the actor name in front of me, Jesse T. Usher. Great acting by him as well, because it is that what, yeah, okay. And then there's this moment when he finds out that it's Blue Hawk's heart where he is like repulsed, like, you know, he goes through like the range of emotions of being horrified by it, but then okay, well, I'm alive and I can do it, but then it's immediately on to you're a gangbanger and this, and that's not my story, or you know what I mean, like he's stuck in that system again of trying to,
oh man, why is Nick not here when she said on the yayo?
Let's be happy he's not, all right? Let's be happy he's not. Let's hope Kevin is able to separate them right now.
It's almost kind of heartbreaking for me in that moment there with A-Train, because you start to just sort of assume that that's how he wanted to go out. This was his plan. Mm-hmm. He knew what the repercussions are going to be. He knew the consequences of him going at full speed again. And you assume that, like, it... On that zoom out shot, I got a lot of, I drew a lot of comparisons to the zoom out shot of Walter White laying on the ground at the end of the series finale.
Sure.
Where it's like, there's this sort of look of like, it didn't look like pain or fear necessarily. It looks like I did.
It's relief, right? That it's over.
Yeah, I did the thing that I set out to do. I
redeemed myself, right?
I finally stood up for something, right? And that's not, you know, again, I feel like we always have to throw out, you know, and have a little caveat. Maybe Barrett, can you put up a little message of being like, we know he's still a shitty person because he did a lot of other shitty things, but it really just feels like, it felt like that was his way of saying like, all right, I did the thing. I stood up for my family and I made the right call. A-Train is still shitty. Still
even
bad.
Trying to make first. On the last episode, him apologizing to Huey and realizing it was hard for him to do, but he did it to try to, because he's trying to be better. And there's still perils, and he's still fighting with himself. He's still loyal to Homelander and Vault in a way, and wants certain things. But also, you see the different sides of the motivation of him, and that's what a person is. A person is flawed. A person has multiple different ways. And now, if you have superpowers and you do really shitty things, that's a reason to hate you as well. But I like to see that in a character. I like to see the black, not just the black and white, the gray.
Yeah. Sure. Shout out to the father and nun scene. When Huey and Soldier Boy come out of the woods to the road or whatever,
terrifying.
So good. Where it was like, I think you have PTSD, and this and no, he's mind controlled. And the nun jumps on his back. So good. I love that entire thing. And same thing for you know, the deep his like one real scene in this, right, with Ambrosia the octopus and his wife or whatever.
Not an octopus. What
is it? No, she calls it a fish, and he goes, yeah, technically it's a mollusk.
She's a mollusk.
I'll be interested to see him go down in flames next week, right? Like, assume that's the thing, obviously, because he is an idiot that he's going to fuck it all up, but very good there, very good.
That's the thing. Kind of goes back to what Andy said at the end. All these other plots, but they're interwoven so well, but in a way that we don't know exactly where it's going, and I think that is the beauty of The Boys.
Yeah,
It kind of almost reminds you of, like, as I'm rewatching Curb Your Enthusiasm for the millionth time, like, I just love how all of those plots sort of end up meeting up at the end. And I think we are going to see several of these plot lines sort of meet up at the end. I want to see if Maeve is able to get out of this place and sort of see it through and kind of, you know, hopefully lend to the cause, because I it breaks my heart to see her in there. Like, she looks so, like, just distraught, and that whole sequence is just really kind of a bummer as a viewer to sort of see what Homelander has done to her and sort of changed her whole life. But then again, that one little line of dialogue of, like, this is a top three moment in my life to see you scared. And I also loved her walking in. Is that concealer? Are you covering up a bruise? Like, ah, oh, so awesome.
And see, but his face break when it happened. The second she said brought up concealer, the way he acted that out.
Incredible. Yeah. But also so horrific, the idea of just harvesting her eggs. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, I'm keeping you alive or whatever. It's like, jeez. Whole thing. What a great show. What a great episode. Anything we haven't touched on? One for me. Kimiko, you know, says, you know, to Frenchie when they're having their scene, you know, we kissed and it wasn't bad. It was just weird, because we're more than that. We're family or whatever. Does that mean they're not going to ever be a thing, you think? Is that they're just, are they brother and sister? Or do you think it is like family the way Jen and I are family?
No, I think it signifies that they are just closer than just like boyfriend, girlfriend. I think to me, like, it became less of a boyfriend girlfriend relationship and more of like a, you know, we are closer than that. We are closer than just, you know, a romance of some sort. I think it's just kind of a way to also throw in the theme of family in all of this.
When you're first dating someone, you're going through that flirting stage. You don't know if they like each other, and I feel like that was just a way to skip the kid-like bullshit. Wonder of that.
Yeah.
And just be like, nah, like, we're connected in a deeper way. Our souls are connected. And so it just takes it to a deeper meaning of that. But we'll see. Maybe she is still wondering if he has second thoughts about the kiss. And that was just her way of taking a back step until he reveals it to her that he's in love. You know, you never know.
I'm also reading up on one of the sort of write-ups on EW.com talking about just little observations here and there. And how in the backpack there's a lot of Perma-V left in the vial after Kimiko shot herself up. Yeah. Who's going to end up using it? Especially when we think about Butcher is on, what, shot number 4 at this point? He says a couple times, but I feel like it's shot number...
Walk it back through how many times we've seen him shoot up on the show, yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like at this point, Huey's done 3 times, right? I think Huey's done around 3 times, and I feel like Butcher's maybe on 4 or 5, because Butcher had done it a couple times before Huey even kind of understood what was happening. We get that moment where, just think back to earlier in the season of all the 2 times where Butcher is vomiting, and Huey's like, what the fuck's going on with you right now, you know? So I think Butcher's kind of like, Butcher's at the line. I think he's past it. I love that, hey, your brain is leaking, Butcher.
Yeah,
he is falling apart on his inside, which is exactly what Starlight saw in those notes about exactly what this sort of temp feed does to you. Very
great
scary
stuff. And one more episode to go, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, we'll be here on youtube.com/kindoffunny podcast services under the Kind of Funny screencast and our roosterteeth.com reacting to it. What did you think of this episode, though? Let us know in the comments below if you're watching on YouTube or Rooster Teeth. If you're in your car listening, roll down your window and shout it out. And then hopefully the next car shouts it out. And it's kind of like 101 Dalmatians, where they just keep shouting until I'm out here drinking a cup of coffee and I hear somebody goes, it was good. It's like, oh, fuck. Oh, yeah. They liked it. They enjoyed it. That's great. Oh, that was me. I'll shout back. And I'll go back to you that way. And also, shout out to Kirkland Whiskey. I like that. I like that little nod from Annie there when Kimiko pulls out the giant value-sized bottle of bourbon or whatever it was. Ladies and gentlemen, go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Be able to write in there. Have a great time. Get the shows ad-free. And until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.